This is Kelly Lally, and I'm in Glasgow, Kentucky, talking with Mr. Joseph Hall about his experiences with the CCC. Today is June the 12th, 1987. The easiest place to start is for me to ask you about some of your background. When were you born, Mr. Hall?
I was born January the 29th, 1917.
And where did you grow up?
I've been lived in Glasgow all my life until I went to Mammoth Cave for the CCCs.
What were times like for you and your family during the Depression?
Oh, that's hard to say. My father and mother raised six kids, and it wasn't easy. He had a farm, but of course the farm, there was no income from the farm. They had tenant farming to carry them through the year, and at the end of the year they couldn't begin to pay you back. We managed pretty well. My father had the rural mail route and hadn't been to that. Well, we had really been hurting for sure. And then you were just like everybody else, best you could.
Where did you fall in the line of six kids?
Pardon?
Where did you fall in the line of kids?
Six.
You were the youngest?
Well, I have five and I have a stepson.
Okay. Which number were you when you were growing up, is what I mean?
Five.
You were number five?
Mm-hmm.
Got it. Well, how did you hear about the CCC?
I graduated from high school about that time, and the WPA was coming along, and I guess you know what the Works Progress Administration, do you know about that? I got a job with the WPA as a timekeeper. Graduated finished school in the midterm, and I went to work in January timekeeping with the WPA. We started building a golf course out here, and the first lick of work that was hit on it. And there was a lady here in town that was recruited, was a friend of the family's, and she was recruiting for the CCCs. And she kept after me about going over there. Of course, I'd never heard of it, didn't know what it was. And this WPA job along the fall kind of fizzled out, and I ended up going over there, I believe it was in September, to Mammoth Cave, to CCC. September of 37.
How were people selected in this area for the CCC? Just recruiters, as you say? Or
pardon?
How were people selected for the CCC?
Well, this lady, was all I knew about it, she was just taking names, and they'd send you over there, and they'd process you after you got over there.
Did you know of anybody who wasn't accepted in this area?
No. Some of them got sent back home pretty quick, but I reckon they took about all of them.
Really? So you entered in September of 1937?
September of 37, uh-huh.
And how old were you at that time?
21.
And how long did you stay in the CCC?
Well, I went in September, and I wish I'd found my discharge. It was about 20 months, or maybe 21 or 2 months. You can only stay 2 years. And the job that I was working on was going to work into a job with civil service with a park. Mm-hmm. And I stayed until we got that worked out. And then I went to work for the Park Service right out of the CCC camp. There she called us.
Hello.
Hi. Okay. Which camp were you in?
543, NP2 at New Entrance. Well, that's not the name of it. 543rd, CCC, Camp Number 2, Mammoth Cave, Kentucky.
Okay.
There used to be another hotel up there right in front of this camp, a New Entrance, where the New Entrance Cave is. Do you know where that is?
Mm-hmm.
Well, there used to be a big hotel up there. And we turned in right beside the hotel.
And that eventually burned down, or was torn down?
Torn down. Did away with it.
Can you describe how you felt when you left home for the CCC?
Well, I'll tell you, just, I'm not really, I don't know. Just something I need, didn't have a job, didn't have any money, no job. Need something to do. That just seemed like the thing to do at the time.
I guess did you get homesick at all, or were you old enough so that?
No, not really, because we was only about like 25 miles from home. I could come home on the weekends, and some of the family, brothers and sisters, and mother and father, they were over there quite often.
So it was almost like not being gone.
Wasn't too much of a problem. I think they enjoyed coming over there more than they enjoyed seeing me coming home. They always liked to go over there.
Yeah, the house now and then. Mm-hmm. You say you had a bit of training before you actually started work. How long was that, and what did that consist of?
You mean, I didn't have any training except for high school. And,
I mean, at Mammoth Cave, you know, like an orientation.
Oh, you mean before I went to work with Civil Service?
Did they have like an orientation period before
yeah,
you?
You just go over and go to work wherever they put you. They have a different crews, and they just put you, I reckon, on the one they want to. They have one that goes out in the trees and out in the woods and works, and on some build trails and whatever to be done. They just send a bunch to do it. Planting trees, and mowing, cleaning up, or anything needed doing. They just.
I think some of the guys from out of state had to go to Fort Knox for a few weeks before they came down. That's what I.
No, they didn't go anywhere except Mammoth Cave.
Do you remember your first day in camp?
Lord, no. Okay. No, it wasn't any big deal, I don't reckon. They just, first thing they do is go up there and give you a bunch of clothes and tell you where to go eat. The rest of it just kind of falls into place. Everybody's real nice. I mean, there wasn't any problems that way, but because it wasn't an entirely new camp. So many of them were there already, see, and maybe go in there like 15, 20, 25 at a time. And they just, everybody, the rest of them knew what to do. Wasn't any problems that way.
Describe how you were paid, the salary system.
Well, you go in there, you get what you would call $30 a month and keep. $30 in your clothes and your meals. That's it.
And did some of that go to your family?
No, mine didn't.
Oh, really? They must have changed that somewhere along the line.
They might have said if they did, they got it back. I don't know. They might have said, I don't remember what it said.
Maybe that's because
They paid us right over there. But now what you could get between paydays, you could go down to the canteen and buy $5 script books and spend at the canteen. But when payday come, you had to pay that back. Or you could access, I mean, it might have been limited on that too, I don't remember, but you could get those script books, nickels and dimes and quarters in them, and go down, like just a little book to tear out. And go down to the canteen and spend them just like money, but then of course you'd have to pay for them when you did get your money.
I guess some of the guys, maybe they were a little bit younger when they went in. $25 was sent home to their family, and then the government would match that so that their family would have $50 a month where they might not have any.
No, we didn't.
Well, it must have changed someone on the line.
We didn't. We got a flat out $30, and if you made assistant leader, which I did a little later on, you got $36. And if you made a leader, you just got $45. Now, leader was like someone that works under a foreman that takes the men out and works them. The foreman don't get out there and oversee it all. He tells the leader what to do, and then he gets done, like a sergeant or something in the Army, I suppose.
What would the assistant do, which you got?
Well, he just a little bit under the leader. The leader didn't want to do something, he'd let the assistant leader do it.
Well, how did you spend your money, your personal money?
That wasn't hard. I don't know, no particular way.
Did you go into town very much, Cape City, or?
Well, we would. They'd take a truck in, maybe once or twice a week. I don't know, to a movie. I think you got to move it for like a quarter maybe to Cave City. And that's about it. I mean, I came home a lot of times. I'd hitchhike home. And they'd usually take me back.
Do you have any problems getting rides?
No, not really. No.
Not like it is today.
No, I didn't have all that shenanigans on the highway like you have today. Come on, Mom. What's happening?
You're doing fine.
No, it wasn't. Up until just the last few years, it wasn't any trouble to get a ride on. I used to pick up everybody I come to on the road. But really? I don't anymore.
Yeah, because you never know.
Just can't afford to.
Well, what different types of projects did you work on at Mammoth Cave?
Well, we got in there and there wasn't a classified job with the Park Service as far as working. And you had your superintendent and the rangers, and that was just about it. And they hired a maintenance foreman, Gooch Travelstead from Bowling Green. His mother used to be a music teacher at Western.
Hmm.
Gooch Travelstead came in as maintenance foreman. We didn't have a shop, we didn't have a building, we didn't have a tool. And we go to CCC camp and borrowed a truck. I've got pictures of it in there. Borrowed a toolbox and some tools. And we had the water system, the sewer system, and the buildings that we'd try to maintain or check on and see after. We'd walk those sewer lines every day, check every manhole, see that everything was all right. Had a pump station over Three Springs. You ever been over Three?
Yeah, I saw that.
They don't use that anymore. Where do they get the water now?
I think they're connected to the main
Green County
system, yeah.
Well, then they put one over Branford Springs. You know, it's right up on top of the hill, over the hill from Three Springs.
No, I never saw that one.
They don't use it either. I was up through there a while back, and it didn't look like it all deserted and tore down. You couldn't even get in. Well, you used to have to go to the pump house all two or three times a day. And then later on, they built another pump house just like it across the hill. We'd have to check the water lines and take the water samples. I think that was every week, maybe. Go to all the springs, into every house in the park. A lot of people lived around in individual houses. And we'd have to go take water samples and send to the state to be tested. And then take water, of course, from the hotel and send in. And over at the Three Springs, you'd chlorinate the water. You had to keep all that working. Now, there was a boy, Gilbert Sanders. If you get, you ought to have his name on there, too.
I'll write that down.
I've been wanting to go see. Gilbert Sanders, and he lives over there at Ollie, Kentucky, or did over there at just between 31W and Brownsville.
Okay, well, we'll check that one out.
Well, he went to work for the Park Service too, and he stayed over at the pump houses.
Hmm.
And he was in the CCs too. And, he worked at the pump houses. Now where was I? I don't even know.
Sending the water in.
Oh, about what we did. Mm-hmm. That's about it. We just whatever we do if we needed anything. To repair something, I always just do the best we could. But at each CCC camp, you had a blacksmith shop, a garage, and of course, tools, supplies for tools. And we'd use them, that's what we used. And there's just two of us, Russ Cravens and myself, that went to work with Goots, just the only job I had over there. And he was maintenance foreman. We stayed with him all the time.
So this was the area around camp number two?
Pardon?
The area around camp number two that you worked, that you had as your...
Well, no, we'd go with the pump to see the pump stations away on the other side over there. And then we'd go sewer system down in back of the hotel. You go down like on Echo River. And... we'd take the old truck, and then later on, we'd use the truck on a weekend. Russ and I would do that on the weekends as well. One of us would be there all the time. And go and take the, they got a little thing you put water in and drop a little stuff in it to see if it's getting enough chlorine. And said cut ortho-colidine or something like all that stuff. You put a drop or two in a little tube. Well, you leave one tube plain and then put a little drop in this other one and then compare them. And then you've got a little chart there to see how much of a reading you was getting on chlorine. If it wasn't getting enough, you'd turn it up some. If it was getting too much, turn it down.
Sort of like what you do at the swimming pool. They do that with swimming pools sometimes.
Pool.
So, yeah, the swimming pools to make sure that they have enough chlorine in them. I think I've seen people test it.
Yeah, and we just had these little old thing, like one of these video thing, little things you put films in, look through, and you put these two little tubes down, and then you put this fluid in one of them, and then you hook that up there and turn this, and you, to get you right the color that matches the color it turns. And then you take a reading off of it.
Okay. Did each camp have a maintenance area type thing? You know, all were the only ones that took care of that?
We were it.
For the whole?
Well, it's all the water and the sewage and the buildings.
That's a lot of responsibility.
Well, there wasn't any then, honey. There wasn't nowhere then. You know, up there where all that garage area and all them, but there wasn't a thing up there.
Oh, really?
There wasn't even a warehouse or utility building or up there where that big, where the big shop is. That's the first building that was built. But before that, the only thing that was down there was a big rack back there in the back that they'd take the CC trucks down there on Saturday mornings and wash them. And that was everything that was there. Wasn't nothing.
Exactly.
No houses, just those six houses down there, and they were just being built then.
So Camp 2 had the maintenance responsibility.
Well, I'm on Gooch Drive with the park.
Park, okay, and you worked under.
Just the two of us worked with the maintenance foreman, which was Gooch Travel Stead.
Okay, we'll get off of that.
We got old Gooch's picture in here. He went up to Fort McHenry, Maryland when he left here. We went up there to see him one time.
So how much free time did you have?
Well, we worked 5 days a week. It's Saturday and Sundays off. On the weekend, there wasn't no KP. I was on KP about half the time, I think. Every weekend. I was always doing something. Well, Florida, you want KP this weekend? They didn't use a roster. They just used a finger.
What kind of things would get you put on KP?
I think Sarge kind of liked me, and he just liked to see me on KP. No, it wasn't that bad. Well, you do a little something you wasn't supposed to. He'd put you on there.
When you did have free time, what did you do with it?
Well, a lot of time we did our own washing. We had to do our own washing. There wasn't any washing machines and stuff. Russ and I'd usually get us a lard can or something and go up there and heat a bucket of water and wash our clothes. Some of the clothes I'd bring home, and Mom would wash them. But just our old workload and things, we'd get them up there and wash them ourselves. There's always just one size. Mm-hmm. You put them on, and you had a big buckle in the back, and you just pull them up there. The old dungaree, and them pockets would stick out there that far. And that was one of the favorite tricks of the CCC, is hot pants and them pockets stick out, and you'd be standing chowing on something, somebody'd throw a cigarette in your pocket. Lord, no telling how many hundreds of pairs of them things been burned up.
Oh my gosh. Well,
that's something like you get on KP for.
Yeah.
You get caught.
Did you do any of that, Mr. Hall?
I did.
Well, did you participate in any of the organized recreation activities, like some of the teams or?
They had ball teams, no. I did, they had classes down there. I took part in some of them. There was Ms. Neville, Sally Neville from Cave City, used to come out there. Tried to teach a little shorthand and typing. And then I got to where I could type a little bit, but shorthand, of course, that don't mean anything coming out. Kind of weird. And they had woodworking shops. They had things there for you to do. I worked in the woodworking shop some, fiddling around. I in the library. You could go read if you wanted to, which I did very little of.
Well, you're talking about a little bit about the thing with the pants. Were there any other pranks that the guys liked to play on each other?
Yeah, there was. Did you ever get short sheeted?
I haven't, but I've seen people.
You know how it works?
Uh-huh.
You know, there's a lot of that going on. And I've seen them guys come in there, some of them go out on Liberty and come in there about half high sometimes and go down through a barracks and flip every bunk in there right upside down. It didn't matter if it's midnight or 2 o'clock in the morning. You be in there and they just pick your bunk up and flip it.
Did they play many pranks on the new guys that coming in?
Yeah. It's too numerous to mention. I don't think there was any special trick.
Okay. There were four camps there. Wait, let me check my tape. Mm-hmm. There were four camps at the CCC. Was there much interaction between
the camps?
The guys, yeah, in the camps?
I don't really remember much. They might have played a few ball games among themselves. But they had, over there in the hollow below the hotel, they had a... And I never did go down to that place, but they used to have what they call a hoopee hall. Have you heard of the hoopee hall?
Yeah.
It was a great big, like a small gymnasium, just a big building. And they'd have dances and socials down there. But after I got over there, they wasn't using it. Never was used much, ever used some. I don't think I ever did go to anything down there. I've been down there lots of time. But I'd used to come home if I had a free weekend.
So maybe it was most of the guys that lived.
That didn't go. Yeah, a lot of them were from way far away and didn't go home. So they'd take them, they'd furnish the trucks and take them down there and bring them back. And that was for all four camps. I don't know whether they all used it at one time or not, but they all had the access to it anyway.
How did the whites feel about the presence of blacks in a camp nearby? Were there any problems?
I don't know of any problems they ever had like that. Of course, they were segregated at that time. You know, Flint Ridge over there, number one camp, was all black, except the supervisory staff. Vernon Black was the superintendent over there. And I don't know whether they had any black foremen or not. I don't know about the foremen. That camp that wasn't over there too long after I got over there, it was the first one that went out. And then the number three camp went out. And I don't remember whether number one or number three went out first, but they both might have been at the same time. Then that just left one across the river, number four and number two, and they were there, so they were still there. Well, plumb on to 42, about the time started a draft, you know, and most of these boys were drafted. A lot of them just went right out of camp into the Army.
How did the local residents feel about the CCC being in the area?
As far as I know, they got along great. Conflicts. If a fella needed something on the outside and all, they'd be the first one to send a truck of men down there to help them in any kind of a disaster or anything. I never knew of any trouble.
Were any of the local residents upset, maybe with the government, not just the CCC, about being displaced from their homes or because of the park being developed that you knew of?
You mean the people that live there?
Yeah.
No, that would have come on up above me. I wouldn't have known about that had it happened.
That's right, you got in a lot later.
Well, I was just an enrollee.
Did a lot of the guys date the local girls or go into town a lot?
Yeah, some of them did. Several of them got married over there. Russ got married, the boy I worked with. Joe Felicia married one of them. There's a Hope boy that married a girl out there, and Billy Woodard married one out there, and there were several of them married around there, but I don't know where they get the girls when they'd have a little dancing, unless they bring them maybe a busload of something from Bowling Green or something. I never didn't have that pleasure of being down there. Or, of course, every once in a while, some of the boys go to town, they'd get a little rowdy and get fussed at some. Some of them would get discharged if they got too rowdy. It wasn't any trouble to discharge them if they'd get out of line. But I never knew of any trouble. I didn't have any trouble with them.
Was there much drinking that went on? Or?
Not at $30 a month, no. Well, there was still quite a bit. Them old boys, I have known to come back. Several of them live back across the river. And I have known to bring a keg over there and put it up in there. Above the locker, between the roof and the locker, and a ceiling up above the ceiling, and run a hose down into the locker.
Oh, no.
Keep them from finding it, you know.
Nobody ever found them?
They'd inspect your lockers, your wall lockers. Well, they'd inspect all your lockers. So we had foot lockers and wall lockers, too. There was enough of it, I guess, but that was moonshine. That one. They'd bring in a jug or two. Especially, there was a bunch of kind of stayed together on that. I never did drink any of that stuff. We drink a little, we'd go out and get something maybe on Friday. And Horse Cave was wet then. We didn't have to go to Bowling Green to get it. She lives in Louisville.
Oh, she does.
I've got a son's a photographer on the Courier Journal up there. Our stepson, and been there 19 years. Got mama boy. I'll show you the pictures after a while.
Okay. I've been living in Bowling Green since I've been at Western, but. I am. I think I might change this over before it goes off on us.
I think I've said too much already.
No, this is the second side of my tape of the interview with Mr. Joe Hall in Glasgow. How successful do you think the CCC was in relieving the effects of the Depression?
It's all right in that thing right there, Roosevelt's First Army. It was very successful. You imagine a country full of men with nothing to do, were working age, out of school, couldn't afford to go to college, couldn't afford to do anything. What would you do with them? I would say yes. It was very successful.
Do you think it helped the local economy around the cave area, get out of there on
division? Well, there's a whole lot of ways of looking at that. Money-wise, there wasn't that much money that they put back into the economy. But then you start supplying the camp with goods and all, somebody's getting help. And, it kept these boys from maybe being out here stealing and tearing up and shooting and burning. All that sort of stuff, you know that. That's old stuff. Kept a lot of them out of mischief, maybe that would have been into mischief.
What do you consider to be the greatest contribution of the CCC?
Well, giving these boys something to do. It just all goes back to that. Honey, they boys in this town could have been president. Didn't have a thing in the world to do. We had no telling how many went from here. A lot of them went way out west. They sent me just to Mammoth Cave, as far as I got from home.
Do you want to go out farther away, or did you?
No, not really.
Do you think it made a difference in the military for
World War II? Yes, ma'am. Very much. These boys were already acclimated. They knew sort of what to expect. And boot camp wasn't anything new to them much, except maybe putting them through their exercises more. Oh, I think that had a big effect on them. that's where just about all of them are drought. See, they're all drought age. And yeah. That drought hit them right in the belly button, and that's where they all went. All of them that were physically able. Now, there might have been some in there. Even though they were physically fit for the CCC, the Army. But at that time, I think they're all physically fit, because all they do is feel it and see if it's warm and run you on through.
Were there any problems with the CCC that you can think of?
I didn't have any. I thoroughly enjoyed it. Thoroughly. Of course, I'd like to have been somewhere making about $500 a month. I'd say it's the most fun I've ever had in my life. As far as having fun and feeling free. Because you had a place to stay and something to eat. And a little spending money. I went to work on the WPA. I thought it was at 30 cents an hour when I got out of high school. It takes a while to get $3 or $4 at that rate.
What did you do when you got out of the CCC?
I was fortunate enough that the Park Service, went on civil service with Park Service as a, I say, what would it be called? I guess it's skilled labor, or it's classified as labor. Maybe that'd be the word for it, because it was under civil service and it was under retirement. I went to work with the Park Service. I stayed on over there, right, doing the same thing I was doing. Stayed on at the CC camp, rented a room up there, and stayed up there for a long time.
Upped your salary?
$1,080 a year. Yeah, upped it.
Wow.
$1,080 a year is what I made. They kind of go by what they call a prevailing wage rate, what prevails in the community. It's sort of the way they set your pay. At that time, it's probably, I don't know, maybe 70, 75 cents an hour or something.
And did you go into the Army, or?
Well, I went to work with the Park Service, and that'd been in 39. And then in 42, late 42, the Army was right after me. I'd done got my notice. And I worked with a boy, Gilbert Sanders, when I say about a while ago. Gilbert said one day, he said, Joe, let's, he did after him too. Said, let's go down to Bowling Green and see what the Navy has to offer. Of course, I didn't know the Army, much more know the Army from the Navy, as far as knowing anything about them. So we went to Bowling Green, down to the recruiting office, and they told us about CBs.
What are those?
That's part of the Navy. Construction battalions in the Navy. Seaman, I guess. And we had signed some papers before we left there, and we had to go to Louisville a little later, I don't know, a couple of weeks or something. But we came on back, and then we went to Louisville whenever designated time was for physical. And we started through, and Gilbert had a little sunk-in place on his hand right there. Just wasn't, and he worked all the time, and wasn't any opening or sore, and they just a kind of sunk-in place. Well, they stuck that arm up there the first thing to take his blood pressure. I was right behind him. before they even put that thing on, they noticed that, and they said, ask about it. And they called it some kind of paralysis. Said you might pick up something and drop it and not even know. And they said, you better go on in and talk to the doctor right now. And he did. And shoot, they turned him down right now. And I was right behind him. And I went on through. And then sworn in that day.
And he didn't have to go?
No. He went back to Mammoth. He was an awful good fellow. Thought a lot else of Gilbert. I reckon they're still over there, he and Ed. I need to get over there and see him, but I don't do it.
So how long? But,
then I was in there. That was in January. It was January the 3rd, I believe, when I Louisville. And they swore us in, and I don't know, we had maybe a few days after that to get our business squared around, and then I stayed in the Navy then till October the 14th, 1945, in the Seabed. We went to over Virginia in January, and it was colder than kraut. There's my dates, 11/25/42, that's when we went to Bowling Green, to 10/27/45. Liked about a month being three years. But anyway, went in there, and then we went over to Roanoke, I guess. What's the Navy thing over there in Virginia? The Poplar one?
Annapolis? No, that's in Maryland.
No. Roanoke? Is it not Roanoke? And anyway, we went on down, went to one place, and then they sent us on down another, and we got on the train there in Louisville and rode a Pullman to almost to Virginia Beach. Norfolk's what I'm trying to say. Rode a Pullman, we went to Norfolk, and they put us out in the barracks one night about 8 o'clock, and come back in a few minutes. I said, well, I said, pick your stuff up. We're going on down to Camp Allen, which was a little further down, right close to Virginia Beach. Cold and blazes in January the 4th, 3rd or 4th. Went on down to Camp Allen, and we stayed there. We stayed there from January till in March. Took our boot training. And then we loaded up on the train, went to Gulfport, Mississippi. Then we shipped up in Gulfport, Mississippi, and went down to in the Caribbean to Trinidad. And they was putting in a naval base there on the island at Trinidad. And that we stayed there then a little over a year, I think maybe 14 months or something. And then came back to the States over to Rhode Island, where the big Air Force base is, on some kind of point. Came back to Rhode Island anyway, and we were stationed there at Camp Endicott in Rhode Island for a while. They tore a battalion all to pieces, just split it all up and reorganized it, and who all your friends had all gone, and some coming in. Very few of us stayed together. Then I signed up in the spare parts school, went to which spare parts school is like you go back out and you set up a warehouse and you're ordering parts, you're supposed to know what you're doing if you go through this school. That was down in Joliet, Illinois. That's where I was on VE Day. And we stayed down there, I think, 6 weeks. And then we went on to Oxnard, California on the train at Port Hueneme at Oxnard, California. And we were there then. We were posted to be shipped out about three different times. But we never did ship out again. It was right getting close to VJ Day then, between VE and VJ Day. And we never did ship out again. So after VJ Day, we was to begin to discharge people. October the 14th, I believe, Navy Day. That's when I got discharged. That was on my card, 20. I was discharged down at Long Beach, California. And then I hitchhiked home.
Hitchhiked from California home. That must have been quite an experience.
Not as much fun as I thought it was going to be.
Back then, though, people pick up services. You didn't have to be as careful as you'd have to be now about picking up people.
You know, it was the oddest thing when gas rationing was on. Everybody, they wouldn't pass anybody on the highway. I mean, if they could, any way in the world, they could get you in the car. And when they took that gas rationing, all you'd have to stand there sometime on the highway, they'd zoom, 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 zoom. It was a lot harder to get a ride after the gas arresting went off.
Well, I know people's
going to pick up. No, I know they've quit it now. Well, now that brought us up to where are we now? Are we home yet? Yeah. I've hitchhiked home.
Yeah, you're home.
Well, now what?
Is there anything else?
Well, when I got home, I had a, took about a year and a half, let's say 40s. I guess about a year on GI training program in Louisville with the Marine Electric Company. And I was having some problems, and I went back to Mammoth Cave. I stayed over there another year. Mm. And then I started taking every civil service examination I could find out about in Bowling Green. I could go down there and take them. So I ended up in the Railway Mail Service in 1948. Went to Cincinnati and went to work, and then rode the train from Louisville to Nashville. I'm from Cincinnati to Nashville. I wasn't Louisville, Cincinnati to Nashville. And then November the 1st, 1950, I transferred to a rural route in Glasgow, mail route.
Back home.
Back home. And I stayed on that 27 years. So all in all, with civil service, I had 38 years and 9 months. I fell and hurt a shoulder. And wasn't too much demand for one-armed mail carrier, so I just retired in May the 8th, I believe, 78. I've been retired ever since. And since then, Betty and I can't decide how we ever had time to work. She worked all the time, too. But as busy as we stay now, I don't know how either one of us ever had time to go out and do any public work. Keep watching the grandkid.
Both of us working? I don't know either. I wonder sometimes how we did it.
Well, I appreciate you taking time out to talk with me today.
Get the pictures of the kids in there. Let us show them. Okay. You want to look at any of these? Or
yeah,
you don't
I'd like to.
To
I would like to see those.
Well, you get into the daggone things, they just go on and on.
Is there anything else you'd like to tell me about the CCC?
I don't know about anything, not very loud, but all this has been told before.
Well, it's nice to hear it from lots of different perspectives, and you have told me things that I haven't heard, so.
It was a good program, there's no question about that.
Well then, I guess I'll turn this off.
Oh, you take all those kids, what would they do? What would they have done?
This is what took up our time.